one God who knows us best. It's the only God, the only living, breathing God that knows us better than anybody else. He knows our hearts, he knows how he created us, and he knows what direction he wants us to go. It is our responsibility to go after him, to figure him out, and to be like him. Amen? Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. God, thank you. Thank you for the fact that nothing escapes your line of sight. Lord, you are privy to all information. You are always aware of everything that is going on, and yet we're not. We don't always see the undercurrents of things that are happening. We don't always see the things that you're trying to do and maneuver in. And Lord, we find ourselves in a pickle. We're torn in many different directions. We try to separate things to make sense of it all, but the reality is everything must be grounded in your truth. It is your truth which gives us the straight path to the direction that you would have us to go, and it's your truth that informs us of how we are to live, and it's your truth that has always been. And today, that's what we want to stand on. That is what we want to seek, your truth more than anything else. God, you are glorious. And you have blessed us in great and mighty ways. And you are, we willingly give it back to you because we know that it can go in any moment. But it should not shake us and change our perspective of who you are in our lives. May you be glorified in all things. May your truth reign free. And may we worship you today in spirit and in truth. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yeah.
Father, what a great reminder that it's you and you alone that's going to save us. We can look at all the other stuff around us and try to give our opinion, but the reality is, at the end of the day, it is you that loves us best, loves us most, and knows us better than anybody. It is you alone that when it all settles, will be the one saving factor for those who are following you. Lord, may that be the foundational truth that we build from, that it is you and you alone. We love you, we thank you, and we invite you to do what only you can do in the next few moments. In Jesus' name, amen. You may have a seat, and as we've been doing in the past, if you feel comfortable, you are more than welcome to remove your mask while I am screaming at you for a little while. Just kidding. I'll try not to scream too much. So, I don't know if you talk to me close up, you're going to see I got a little sun yesterday. I choose to wear my hat backwards because, I don't know, I like wearing my hat backwards. People give me a hard time about that all the time. You shouldn't do that. You can't. Why do you wear your hat backwards? Well, I don't know. I like wearing my hat backwards. There's no biblical basis for not wearing my hat backwards. It's more of a personal preference of whether I wear my hat backwards or not, right? But I'm paying for it today because I got a little white stripe right across my forehead. And there's red up there and red down here. So don't make fun of me too much and don't give me a hard time about how I wear my hat. And isn't it funny that we pick the silliest things to stand on? We find something that just we like or we don't like and we just stand on it. But there's really nothing biblical about the things sometimes that we stand on. And all the time I hear like, hey, you shouldn't preach this or you should preach this and you should go after this and you shouldn't touch that. If you can prove that to me biblically, then you have a case and we can talk. But if you can't, I appreciate your preference and your opinion, but I'm going to stick to what Scripture teaches. And we've talked a lot about over these last, I don't know, 6 years, that we don't really get to take a break from our Christianity. Agreed? Like there's no time where, okay, I'm going to take a vacation from my Christianity. I'm just going to go live my life and do whatever I want, knowing that God's going to forgive me. And when I come back from my little hiatus, it'll all be okay. The reality is me going away on my little hiatus, doing whatever I want to do, is actually working against the very Christian life that I want to live. And so we can all agree that that's just silly. Like there's no break in this. It's either all on or all off. Amen? Agreed. So why is this time of the year any different? Why are politics any different? So you're telling me, based on how some of us want to interpret separation of church and state, that there are only certain things we can talk about in the church, and because it makes me uncomfortable or I may have a different opinion, then we can't talk about it. But if the issues at stake are not necessarily political issues, but moral issues, you tell me in Scripture where I'm not allowed to talk about moral issues. The reality is, here's what's happened in our country. We have taken the moral issues, the very moral fibers of the way that our country has been established. The reason that the Constitution was written was to protect those morals and religious liberties. And we have turned it into a political platform. Now let me clarify something up front. If you think for one second that I'm going to use my opportunity on a Sunday morning to tell you one way or another how to vote or where to vote, you're wrong. It's not my job. In fact, let me help you see what my job is, what I believe my responsibility as... Oh, this is not going to work. Pardon me really quick. Hi, Michelle. You would have really been upset when I'm hollering at you why it wasn't working. And I had... Man, I was on a roll too, daggone it. All right. Let's start over. Here's what I believe my responsibility is. And so we're just going to talk. We're going to talk today. We're going to talk over the next few weeks. And for some of you, it's going to be uncomfortable. You're not going to like it. You're going to think that I'm trying to point you in one direction or the other. But right up front, you need to understand that my job is to preach, to teach, and to lead. That's my job. And if that's uncomfortable for you, I'm not apologizing for it. You can take a break from your Christianity for the next 5 weeks and come back after the election. Because the reality is, the part I will own in this is that I'm waiting too late to talk about these moral issues. These are issues that should be talked about all year long, all the time, instead of waiting till the last minute. So for that, I can own that. But please do not tune me out assuming where I'm standing, what platform I'm supporting, or who I'm voting, because you don't know, because I've never told you. I won't assume that about you, and I ask you not to assume that about me. Fair enough? Because I'm not here to tell you who to vote for. Frankly, I don't like any of them. I don't think any of them, not just the two that are running, but any congressperson, any house person, any senate person, any state, local, whatever, I don't believe they represent my true at heart biblical beliefs, period. So what do we do if that's where we're at? Do we just say, well, okay, we're just not going to talk about it because they don't represent us anyway. We have no control over it, so we're just going to let the chips fall where they may. No. I don't believe we should do that either. I believe we have a responsibility in all of this. We have a responsibility. You, as a believer in Christ, have a responsibility, even in these situations that none of us like to talk about. And it just blows my mind that we can't have an honest discussion about it. I am learning as I'm getting older and as I learn how to think and learn how to put my feelings aside instead of wearing them on my shoulder to be able to have an honest conversation with somebody that's going to disagree with me. And let me tell you, I haven't always been there. But you know what? You're not always going to agree with me. However, when it comes to church and when it comes to biblical truths, we as fellow believers should stand together on what God teaches, not based on whether you're a Democrat or a Republican or an independent or someone who just doesn't give a rip. We all on the same page? All right, good. Let's get into scripture. Here we go. Let's keep going with our Matthew chapter 13. And here's what's crazy about all this. If you'll remember, I kind of separated the wheat and the tares with the main one and the explanation. And we're coming back to these two little parables that we're going to look at today. And I can't wait for you to see how fitting it is that we're talking about them today. Because it really goes right in line with the direction that I want us to go as fellow believers. And again, if you're assuming that I'm going to try to sway you one way or the other, all I'm doing, legitimately, is going on scripture. Please hear that. Listen, if you have been around me at all, you know that's my heart. You know that's where I come from every single time. Every time I want us to be pointed back to Christ. I want us to be full view of what God wants. If you know me at all, you know that's who I am. And so let's see what Jesus has to say in these parables. In verse 31 of chapter 13, he says this. He says, another parable he put forth to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all the seeds, but when it is grown, it is greater than the herbs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches. Now, as I was studying this, we kind of went in a lot of different directions with this and a lot of different opinions on it. But where I'm landing is there was a gentleman who traveled way back when. And he went back in the area where this tree would have grown. Because now the mustard seed that we have, the mustard plant that we have, it's not very big. But The area at which Jesus is talking and the area at which this gentleman traveled, they literally, if you leave them alone, will grow into a tree. A legitimate tree with big branches that allow birds to come and sit and rest. Now we're talking about the smallest seed that you could think of. And when I say small, I'm talking smaller than pencil lead. Like the point of a pencil, it's super, super tiny. It's ridiculously small. And something that small, when it is planted properly and taken care of properly and allowed to grow and to blossom into what it needs to be, will grow into this massive tree that isn't just about providing shade or providing the mustard for yellow mustard, I guess. I don't know. But it provides opportunity for other animals. It provides protection for other animals. And when I think about that, I think about our faith. Our faith starts so small. It starts very, very small. It's simply believing that Jesus died on the cross, was buried, and rose again. And that's where it all begins. But when it's planted correctly, and when the water is poured on it, and it's fertilized, and it's pruned, and it's taken care of, and as it grows, it becomes this massive thing that is unshakable. And for me, we are those trees. In the day and age that we live, where everybody is looking for protection, for safety, for being in a safe space, for looking for shade, we are the ones that should live in a confident way because of the truth in which we were born to provide that safe space for them. But if we as churches are divided because it's more about a political party rather than standing on biblical truth, what kind of shade are we offering? We're not offering anything. Because now we have tried to separate the two. And folks, it is inseparable. You cannot separate the two. He goes on to say, verse 33, parable, he spoke to them, so he gives them another one. He says, the kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till it was all leaven. Now, for many of you, you may have zero clue what that means. For those of you that cook, leaven is nothing more than yeast. So if you've gone to Texas Roadhouse, which Emma absolutely loves because of, what do you love at Texas Roadhouse? Rolls and cinnamon butter. That's how she said it, literally. You couldn't hear her, but that's exactly what, rolls and cinnamon butter, because that's what she loves. Well, those are yeast rolls. She would be really disappointed if we went and they were flat as a flitter. She would be sad if they left out the yeast and it didn't rise, because that's what that reaction agent does, but it takes a little while. It's not instantaneous. You've got to let it sit and let it work inside that dough and allow it to rise before you can cook it. And folks, that's the way our faith is. When it talks about the kingdom of heaven, it's talking about the faith that lives within us. The kingdom of heaven lives within us now. It's not just an afterthought. We are living in the presence of God. That is the kingdom of heaven in a nutshell. And it says your faith is like that. It gets into your life and it begins to work and it begins to grow and it begins to morph into this newer, better, more yummier thing, right, Emma? That's what it does. Our faith shouldn't only do that within us, but we should be that out in the world. Can I give, this is hopefully the only opinion I'm giving today. My opinion of why we are in the predicament that we are in is because churches and pastors have been shut up too long for fear of what man will do. Well, I don't answer to man. I answer to a higher calling. And I am far more worried about what God will say when I see him face to face. And so, if it upsets some of you that we're going to talk about this for the next 5 weeks, so be it. I'm going to make sure that I please him. But you have my word. It will be truth-driven 100%. And so we see these two parables, and I find it very intriguing that in both of them, the man took the seed. It wasn't given to him. It wasn't handed to him. He took it, meaning he had to do something about it. He had a responsibility. He had to walk over and grab it. He had to get out of his comfort zone to do something that maybe he didn't normally do. The same thing with the woman. She took the yeast, the leaven, and worked it in herself. She didn't just plop it there and say, okay, good luck. And that's what sometimes our Sunday mornings are like. It plops in and we're like, okay, good luck, God, figure it out. Make it work itself in. Instead of us saying, God, thank you for this leaven that now I have. Help me to know how to work it in. Show me what I need to change in my life so that I can be better. Because I want to point people to you. That's our responsibility, folks. He has made it clearly available to all of us. But we have a job and a responsibility to take our faith and to leverage it for something better. Couple of thoughts with that. The seed and the leaven. First, they start small. We're talking about a mustard seed. We're talking about 3 measures of yeast. Now, there's no significance in the 3. It just means that it was very small. It doesn't take much at all to make it move. But it starts small. Folks, listen. For some of us, when we were saved, it took a long time for it really to kick in for us to understand what was going on. I was saved early at the age of 6. Didn't really figure it out until probably going into college, maybe my junior year, or my summer between my junior and senior year of high school. But I believe, pretty sure, it was after my senior year in high school. That's when it started kind of really taking notion. And then I've told you before, God called me to preach. I told him no. So that yeast is still moving. That seed is starting to grow, but it's not there yet. And it was literally 7 years later before I finally said, absolutely sure. And then he took 10 years before he plopped me up here. Why? Well, I was ready. Man, I wanted it. God needed it to grow. God needed it to strengthen. God needed it to be what it needed to be in order for me to do what he's called me to do. If I rushed it, if I went under my own guise, if I went under my own thinking, if I went under my own power, if I went under my own assumptions, it will fail. But when we wait for our faith to blossom into the tree that it should be, when we wait for the yeast that starts very small to grow, it will be what God wanted it to be. It's got to be planted and worked in. We have a responsibility to take his word. He's already provided every ounce of knowledge and wisdom that we need. It is our job to take this and implant it, put it in us, to work it in, to make it happen. And that goes for every aspect of our life. We don't get to separate it from anything. And sadly, because of the time period that we're in, politically is no different. We don't get to separate biblical truth from our personal opinion of how people want to do us in politics. We have mandated responsibility by God to do what is right, to walk humbly with him, and to love being kind to others. That's our job. That's our responsibility. That's what that mustard seed and yeast does for us. It continues to expand and turn us into who he wants us to be. And growth happens over time. Please be patient with yourself. Please be patient with yourself. For those of you that cook with yeast, you're patient. You have to be. If you move too quick, it will destroy the product. With the mustard seed, if we don't take care of it and we're not patient with it and to work it, it takes a long time for it to go from that little mustard seed to this big tree. Think about parenting. It takes you, for some of you, 18 years. Some of you have got it done in 12 or 13. Some of us, it's going to take about 30, 35. But it takes time. And we work these things in and we work with our children and we want them to grow into this wonderful thing. It's the same way that it happens with our Christian walk. But let me tell you something. When we are able to allow God to do something, the impact will be noticeable. When that little seed is buried, nobody knows where it's at. I have no idea the truth that I'm going to share today, what it's going to do to you, I may never know. And maybe I'll see some growth. Maybe I'll see some fruit from it. But I may never know the tree that you're going to grow into. That's one of the most frustrating things that I experienced as a youth pastor. Is I would pour into kids and just give them truth and give of my time and my energy and my right leg as much as I could. Like I gave them everything that I had, knowing all along that I may never know the impact that I have on them. But you know what? It's still worth it. Because I don't have to know. I only have the responsibility to lead, to preach, and to teach truth. That's my job. What you do with it from here, guess what? That's between you and the Lord, not between you and I. And it should not, let me say this loudly, it should not cause division in the church. Our responsibility in all of this is to be influencers of truth. For me, when I think about the political agenda and the political scene, my job, my responsibility is to be an influencer of truth. It's not about party for me. Never has been. It's about what biblically is right and what is best. And I want to be an influencer of truth. I'm not saying that I'm trying to change your mind. That's not our job. Our job is to be an influencer of truth, to live truth, to speak truth, and let the truth itself do the work. The truth is sharper than any two-edged sword, able to pierce the deepest parts of our heart and to separate the good from the bad. That's its job. That's the Spirit's job. That's not your job. That's not my job. My job is to share and to be an influencer of truth. So how do we leverage our responsibility? How can we take this responsibility that we have right here, right now, in the time that we have, how can we leverage our responsibility of being truth influencers? This was the same point that we had last week. And I used it again because to me, this is the first and foremost point of anything that we're going to talk about from now until after the election. Well, honestly, from now until Jesus returns, if I'm truthful. Love has to be the main factor. I should be able to, as my opinion, talk to you with your opinion and leave that discussion still in love with each other. That sounds weird, but that's what I mean. Right? And sadly, churches, of all places where that should be safest to do, we can't. Why? Okay, so you have a difference of opinion. If you can base your opinion and your feeling on Scripture, God bless you. Fantastic. It may be different. I may read it and interpret it a little bit different. It doesn't mean that you're wrong. It means that's where you have landed. That's where you're confidently standing. That's where you have settled with God. Who am I to argue with that? Just like who are you to argue with where I stand on truth? We're entitled to that opportunity. It's the right that God has afforded us. However, there are certain truths in the Scripture that are not debatable. And that's where we get in trouble. Not because the truth is wrong, but because we're human beings. And we like what we like, we want to do it how we want to do it, and nobody's going to tell me any different. Well, I shouldn't be able to tell you any different. But if God tells you different, and you don't listen, that's a whole different ballgame. I'm going to step away because I don't want to get hit by the lightning. Here's the second point. Let me share this passage with you. It's one of my favorite passages. It's Psalm 1. And I want you to listen to this. We're going to pick it apart just a little bit. And then I'm going to hit our second point. Psalm 1, the psalmist starts. Now, Psalm is one of the best books. It has all of these wonderful songs and sonnets and poetry and great statements and great thoughts. One of my favorite passages is Psalm 51, where David acknowledges his sin and has a great conversation with God of his owning of that sin. It's a great passage. So Psalms is full of those type things. But he leads off with this one. Here's what he says. Blessed is the man, happy, content, complete is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Now let me pause right there. Please be mindful of who you're listening to. If it does not match Scripture, then you probably should not be listening to it. Let me rephrase that. If it does not match Scripture, you should not give it an ear. If we're going to be Christians and we're going to claim that we love God and love His Word and want to follow Him, every one of us should have said amen on that. What are we doing here? What game are we playing? Is this about being an American or being a Christian in America? Like, what is our job and our responsibility? Where is our line of sight? What is our vision? What's your motivation? It is about influencing others for truth or just getting what you want, getting by, and hoping that it all pays out in the end. Like, at some point, we've got to get serious about this. We are losing so much and stand to lose a lot either way, just so you know. Exactly, Jay. That's exactly how I feel. Thank you for that, buddy. Blessed is man, happy, content, complete, is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Please be careful with what we are listening to and where we're standing. Because the next one says, nor stands in the way or in the path of sinners. We have to be careful. It does not mean that we should avoid all the sinners and not try to be an influencer of truth, but we should not be named among them. We should not be named among those who follow against God's laws. It says, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Here's the progression. Once I start walking in the counsel of the ungodly, it moves me to be comfortable enough to stand with them and say, yeah, I'm standing with you, which will turn me into a scornful person against the truth about God. And I will take a seat at the table. That's problematic, folks. And listen, this isn't about any political party. This is about you as a follower of God making a conscious choice to follow truth. It says, but his delight, whose delight? The blessed man, the one that is content and complete and happy. His delight is in the law of the Lord, not in a political party or getting what you want or making sure your freedoms are intact. My delight is not getting and living how I want to live. My delight is in what he says right here. And that is part of our problem is we have gotten away from that. We've tried to separate politics from scriptural truths, and that is where we have faltered. And notice he doesn't just say delights in the law. Oh, it makes me happy. It says he meditates. It is constantly on his brain. He is thinking about it all the time. Can I just tell you, there are times where I wake up in the middle of the night and it's just on my brain. This morning I woke up and the sermon was on my brain, but so was this pile of anxiety. It hit me like a ton of bricks, but then it went away. Because I know truth defies all. He says, his delight is in what God says, in his law, in how he tells us we should live, how he instructs us, how he modeled. You realize God came, he sent his son, he came in the flesh as Jesus, the living, breathing word of God, came and lived in front of us to model to us what a life of love and devotion to God looks like. He was able to participate in all of the things that we have to deal with, even in political aspects. Wait, Did he run for governor? No. But he didn't shy away from addressing things that needed to be addressed. He goes on. Here's what's the good part. If we delight in the law, if we meditate day and night on how good God is and how strong we can be in Him and the things that He wants to do through us, He, that man, that blessed, happy, content, complete man, shall be like a tree. Why? Because that mustard seed grew and became something worth seeing. It became strong. It became fruitful. It became useful. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in due season. If we will do this right, we will be influencers for truth. They won't be able to stop us. God will just run rampant. And you probably are saying, well, how do you know that? Listen, read some history. Look up some of the greatest preachers of all time who had massive revivals that changed our land. Where our land was going in one direction after it started here, revivals hit and took it back in the direction that it needed to be. Oh God, give us revival again. That's the only thing that's going to change us. And dare I say, it doesn't start with everybody else out there. It starts with you, and it starts with me. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf shall not wither. Do you feel like right now you're withering? With all the COVID stuff and all the political scene and all the things in the many different directions, for many of us, we feel like, seriously, get this over with. Right? But you know what? Deep down, my faith isn't withering at all. I might externally be tired of it all, but internally, my tree's still growing. My yeast roll is still rising. And watch what it says. Whatever he does, whatever the happy, blessed, content, complete man who meditates in the law day and night and delights in the law, whatever he does will prosper. Meaning, when we stand for truth, it will last and it will make a difference. So the second thing, the first one was love must be the main factor. We have to go at this in love. We cannot go at it with a negative attitude, with assumptions. We must go at it with love. Have a conversation. Find out. See if people want to talk about it. But come at it from an attitude of truth bearing and not truth bashing. Because the second one is we should delight in God's truth. Here's the third one. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. I know many of you probably know this like the back of your hand. You've probably quoted it all your life. But it's trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways. Wait. What'd that say? No. You don't understand. When it comes to politics, that's over here. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. That's the meditating. That's the thinking through. That's looking at the things in front of us that we have to make decisions on, bringing it back to what truth says. And when we can bring it back to what truth says and acknowledge Him in all of our ways, guess what? He'll direct you in how you should do it. Amen and amen. I don't know what else to say. Except this, we got to trust in God's truth. So how are we going to leverage this responsibility? What do we need to do with it? We got to start with love. We have to come at this with an attitude of love because Jesus said, they will know that you follow me, that you are my disciples, that you love me by how you love one another. And if we can't do that, the rest of this doesn't even matter. Because once we can get to the place where we can love one another, now we've got to acknowledge His truth. We've got to delight in His truth and trust it. I can acknowledge His truth all day long, but if I don't trust it, it means nothing. And trusting it is not just saying, yeah, I trust it. It's living it out. So we have a responsibility, folks, to make a difference. You may think your vote doesn't matter, it doesn't count. It does. It may not count as much as we think it should in our government, but it'll count to God. Because you're taking a stand for truth. You are looking at it from a truthful standpoint, acknowledging Him in all of your decisions and allowing Him to direct your path. We have a responsibility to make a difference. Here's some questions to ponder. Just two today. Two easy ones. Am I open to hearing what God has to say about truth? That is an imperative question you have to answer in order to be able to hear the next 4 weeks of sermons. Am I open to hearing about God's truth? Not, I'm just going to assume He's going to preach in one direction. Again, you have my word. I'm coming at it from the Bible. I don't care what political party you are. I'm coming at it from Scripture. And if we can't acknowledge that, then there are bigger issues that we have. Here's the second one. Am I, Alan Hines, willing to be an influencer of truth? Am I willing to stand on what truth is shared and what it means? As the praise team comes, Here's all I'm going to say about this for now. I just want you to consider voting biblically. Consider voting biblically. And not based on personality, preference, or political party. That's what we're going to be focusing on, folks. We've got to get away from all this other stuff, and we've got to get back to the root of who we are, and that is Christian beliefs based on the Word of God and His truths. That alone is what we stand on. That alone is what should direct how we vote. Let me pray for you this morning. God, thank you. Thank you for how you always show up. I just appreciate you so much. God, you never leave us to flounder around. You don't want us to worry. You don't want us to figure it out on our own. You just want us to trust you. And I'm thankful that I have and I can. Thank you for reminding me this morning of just how amazing you really are. But Lord, we are a people in need. We need direction. We need for our past feelings and emotions and what we think we know to be scrubbed from our minds. And we need to start anew and afresh in your truth. Lord, for me, this isn't even about the political season. This is about us as believers learning to live based on truth, learning to love your word, learning to meditate in it, and allowing you to guide our path in all of our ways. God, I know you can. I know you want to. But Lord, the responsibility lies on us. You've already made it possible. You've already cleared the path. May you help us to answer those two questions honestly today. And Lord, if we can't, I pray that you would work on us and prepare us for the next 4 weeks and to guide us in your truth more than ever before. You're so awesome. Thank you for loving me the way that you do and for using me the way that you do. Man, I just get so overwhelmed with your goodness and your kindness. Forgive me, God, when I cower from what I know is right. For when I fall. Shame on me for doubting you, God. May you continue to do your work. Because you are so worth the effort from us to go after you. Continue to do what only you can do. Work on our hearts through the week. Prepare us, God. Reignite the love in our hearts for your word. And help us to know how to love effectively in Jesus' name. Fitting was that song? Super fitting. He's the only one that's going to rescue us. It's not yet, but someday soon, right? God bless you. Thanks for coming. Thank you for tuning in. We will see you next week. Next week when you come in, we're going to do things a little different. So far, we've been allowing you to remove your masks during the preaching, but starting next week, when you come in and you have a seat, if you're comfortable, you may drop your mask the entire time. Okay, and if you want to talk about that, I'd be glad to talk about that. You don't have to do that, but we are granting permission. That's the direction we are going, and so we're going to continue to move in that direction. So God bless you. Thank you for coming. We will see you next week.